Blog Talk Radio.
Because I've been under the weather before, and so it is not a good.
so not a good feeling. And so we definitely understand, you know, things happen. These things do
right.
happen. Exactly. So you, you know, you do what you, we don't want to overdo you.
I hear you. I hear you. Well, no, the energy just from being here, because you miss it. Again, for me, this is home. You know, I don't know what everybody else thinks, but this is home for me. So you miss it when you're not at home. Yes.
Yeah, we, yes, we have some great things coming up and coming forward, you know, for the rest of the week. I put a couple of things on Facebook, some things we're going to be doing tomorrow. So we've had some interesting topics so far. This week, Monday, we talked about the power of adversity and how to take your adversity, let it be your ammunition for your ambition.
So there you go.
We got some good things going on. We've talked about our rolling out of our new coaching opportunities for individuals who want to get that coaching and sessions. And then Tuesday we had an insurance producer. I mean, a producer. I mean, it was just awesome. He was fantastic. And now we have you here with us today, Mr. Versi L. Walker, author of Success, How I Ended Up Here, working on your second book, revamping your first book, and just traveling all over the world helping people grow their businesses, expand their businesses and their professional and personal lives as well, because we are like a business ourselves. So
correct.
We have to know, we need to know the strategies and what have you. But I will, for those of you who this is your first time tuning into the show, we welcome you to the show today. And we want you to know that we are the hottest coaching talk show on radio. So you have tuned in for a treat today. And we want you to come back each and every day, Monday through Friday. Please follow us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook so that you can follow us. There is a fan page there because we're going to have giveaways. We're taking it to another level starting right now, so you don't want to miss out. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to be doing some great things. So I'm telling you, Mr. Walker, it is about to go down, and I'm so, so excited.
I can't wait.
Yes, we're going to the Coach Elisa Show. We're going to be traveling around the country. We're going to be setting up some booths and, you know, just making some things happen just as we're able to do it. Now, also tomorrow, and then I want people to know tomorrow, you got to tune back in tomorrow. We have a very hot topic. Mr. Walker, we have people calling in that actually get this. They are really a text mess. So,
Texas,
California, various places, right? They have this hot chili, and they call it, you know, Tex-Mex, like it's a Mexican kind of flavor in Texas. Okay, they put the two together. But let me tell you, we're talking about text as in texting.
Right.
And we're talking plural, doing a lot of it. I met some people, Mr. Walker, who share with me that they sleep with their cell phones.
With their cell phones. There was actually a show I was watching, and I don't know how I slipped to this channel because I don't subscribe to this type of behavior, but there was, I think it's called Teen Pregnancy, and the girl may have been 16 years old, and she's texting all the way from her house in the car all the way to the emergency room. Then she's texting that the doctor's trying to talk to her and the nurse is trying to check her vitals. The doctor told us that you're not in labor if you're able to text. And I swear, as I'm speaking to you today and as the sun is rising, this girl texts all the way until she gave birth. They said the pain is too excruciating for you to text, but she's over 4,000 texts a week. It is just ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
Great.
I can't wait to tune in for that show.
Well, I'm glad you shared that because I'm going to look online. I know of the TV show. I've never watched it, but someone else was telling me about it on another front. But so I'm glad you did share that, because these people told me that they sleep with their cell phones, they get up in the middle of the night, and they send texts.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and the danger with that, you know, one is communication, and as we speak and as we enunciate and we talk, we can put emphasis on the various words that we want to express. And even in communication, verbally or written, there's oftentimes a misunderstanding or a misgiving by a statement. And that's why the commercial that was running about 4 months ago was so poignant, to that point where the gentleman was texting his boss, and I think the boss said, uh-oh, you know, the wife is calling. And he said, oh, yeah, the ball and chain. And he lost the call, so the call was dropped. And so now the gentleman sitting there thinking that, uh-oh, did I offend my boss or my manager, and that's why he hung up on me? Because you can't see the expression of the individual on the other end, or you can't explain away the, again, the mistake or the misconception in your writing. And with the texting, now everything is, instead of saying people, P-E-O-P-L-E, it's P-P-L. But, you know, these new, you know, fangled phones, anything that you write, it automatically self-corrects. So you wanted to say one word or abbreviation, and it came across another way, and you don't realize what happened. You could, you know, potentially ruin a great relationship, you know, because of lack of communication. And the need to know now or to communicate now is just so prevalent in our society that we can't wait anymore. We can't wait till you come home to tell you that we love you. We can't wait till you come home to ask you a question. We need to know now. And it can be very disruptive and bring disharmony to yourself and those you're communicating with. But this is where we're at today.
I think it's going to be a very, very, I can see it developing to a very hot show, a very hot topic, yeah. And will probably be one of those things, like when I did the topic bullying in the workplace, it started out a 1 hour, 1 day show, and it turned into a week long show. And several of the days we had to extend the show to 2 hours. I got a feeling that this is going to be similar, because there's so many issues to the texting. There's so many points to raise. How is it affecting our jobs? Are people going to work less energized because the person who you thought was getting 8 hours of sleep, how many hours? How your sleep being interrupted two or three times in the middle of the night, how does that affect performance the next day? When these people are telling me that it's not just that their phones buzzed, you know, or that vibrated or whatever it did, they actually get up and answer. I mean, text back. Mm. So we're going to have a lot of fun with that. I told them I won't give their names. I've given them kudos for being brave enough to stand up and say, this is what I do. I text. I said, boy, and, you know, it just so happened they were single. I says, wow, what's going to happen when you get married? So that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Take away from your time today.
No, you know, I'm with you. I'm with you.
And
so good.
Tomorrow, a text mess. And so,
great.
And who knows what will be next, you know. So, I'm telling you, but like you said, the communication issues, the socialization issues. Pretty soon, you can date someone and marry them right over the phone, right through texting, and possibly never have to lay eyes on them. So therefore, you don't have to worry. Okay, they can't beat you. If they were an abuser, you wouldn't have to worry about that.
You wouldn't worry about it. But also, there's also, when you say socialization issue, there's the separation anxiety too, because the phone now takes, just like, you know, just like children with the, you know, the video games and stuff, where it used to be you and I had to sit down across the table from each other to play a board game, to play a card game, and it invited so many other people in, and it really allowed for community to develop and for your social skills to develop as well. So now the games you can play yourself or play by yourself, and it prevents people, especially those who are already introverts or what we call shy people, it now encapsulates them and puts them in a bubble even further. And then you have separation anxiety, so when you're not with that tool or that item, you feel a miss, you feel a loss, and we don't know how to creatively function. So that's another concern when it comes to these cell phones and the texting, because oftentimes, they said this about Facebook too recently, that it gives a false sense of importance or involvement or community, and that's why so many people want to race to the top with the number of friends that they have on Facebook and that they can text to make them feel viable. And so it's a great concern from a sociological or psychological standpoint, and we need to feed these individuals different nutrition to get these mechanisms that once used to work socially, where they gather together. I've seen people on dates, and I don't mean a man and a woman. I'm talking about four women or four guys out at the bar or at the restaurant, and each of these individuals got together for a reason. But when you can't see or you don't understand the reason, because they're each sitting there texting or looking at their cell phone. So we've gotten to that point that we now call and text each other to get together. And then at the event, we're sitting across from each other, texting and Googling and looking at other things, as opposed to, again, engaging one another socially and getting expressions and getting that communal or community feeling we once had.
But that's how the topic almost came about, because I've been thinking about it for a while. I've been thinking about it all semester, watching my students who paid
right.
a lot of money to be in course. They need their grades. They want to graduate, blah, blah, blah. They come into the classroom. They take out their book bag. They take out their books. And the next thing that goes on the desk, not in their pocket, it goes right on the desk in front of them where they can see it. And so
wow.
I began to, question them about it. Why? What is it doing? One lady, she had very fancy phones. These are college students' first year. Very fancy. I'm talking about the $200, $300, and $400 phones. I'm not talking about those little things you get from the corner store that you pay $30 for and you pay. No. These were highly expensive phones, but they're talking to people all over the world. They're not just talking to the person next door. They're talking to people around the world. So whole horizon is being expanded to one degree. Because I even look at, here, to be able to talk to, Mr. Paul Kiriazi, who was in Tokyo, Japan, or to talk to Mr. Bonito, who was up there in Canada. If it was not for the technology, I would not even know these individuals. But I can have
right.
conversations. So we understand that there are a lot of good things to come out of it.
Perfect.
But, we were at a conference on Monday, at a meeting on Monday, there were about 40, 50 people there. So we went to break for, a little snack. And as it was four of us in the line, lining up for the snack, and everybody had their cell phones in their hand. And so that's where I said, wow. And they were actually texting. I was like, well, look, we all got our cell phones. Just kind of laughing about it. But then that's how we said, and they were like, oh, I go everywhere with my phone. And the cost of them, you almost can't afford to let them out of your sight.
Mm-hmm.
You pay $400 for the phone, got about $4 million worth of information in there, people's numbers, pictures of your family. I got my grandson's pictures. You almost can't afford to lay it anywhere.
Right. And I'll tell you, I just saw it on the news the other day, and I try to be relevant in current events and everything. And Ms. Minister, Pat, I see you out there. I hear you. I know what you're saying, but we're gonna move this over for tomorrow. But it's such an expansive topic, and I'm glad that you're touching on it. But I just saw something in the news last week where they're jacking, and they're using this word, they're jacking cell phones. So your iPhones are worth $500, $700. And they're jacking it. So you're standing in the lunch line, or you're standing at the zoo, or you're standing at the parking lot, and they will run past and they will snatch your PDA. So they're looking for the joys. They're looking for the iPhones, because there are applications for those phones that you can download, and you can circumvent the phone company, and you can then now dial it and then call people for free using the application,
yep.
And it works with those particular PDAs. So people, be very cautious. They're going back to snatching phones, and also these kids with these Beats headphones. The Beats headphones, the top of the line one, costs $380. So your child is walking down the street with these nice fancy headphones, and they're snatching those too. So be very cautious with this technology. Pay attention, use it if needed. Be very sparingly, but still try to reach out and talk to people.
But that's, that's so funny, because they said even people on the train in the New York City area and places like that, So you're ready to get on the train. So you're about to get on your train. You're not going to miss your train. So you're going to snatch your phone and run. What are you going to do? You're going to sacrifice your job and run after the person. That's your phone.
And they work in tandem. So, you know, the guy who snatches it, there's somebody else to deflect or distract you, you know, in order to hand it off.
And there's somebody else to hand it off. So you'll never catch her.
One guy, 21 years old, had to run down, and he just couldn't be without his phone, so he left and didn't pay the rent because he had to have another iPhone, $700. I'm just like,
serious,
you got to take a look different. It's serious. It's serious. So we will have more of this tomorrow. I plan on dialing in tomorrow, so this is a topic I can relate to. And I like the dialogue. You know, for me, it's difficult, you know, to do a monologue, and even though I'm trying to share information with our listeners, but I like this back-and-forth dialogue, and I definitely love our listeners to raise their hand and chime in. But I love this dialogue where we're talking and discussing and giving, you know, good commentary and information to our listeners and quite frankly, enlightening myself. So, again, I like this.
Well, you know, I'm here for you, Bruce Walker. You know, we go way back now, so.
Okay. That's the truth.
You know, if you know somebody for a year, it's like we go way back.
We go way back, okay, because relationships don't even last that long anymore. In fact, people tell you that, you know, we've been together a long time. We've been through some stuff. How long have you been together? Oh, 15 months. A long time, huh? Yeah, we're moving in together, you know. I'm like, a long time, huh? Okay. So, you know, 10 years in, I must be ancient.
When I tell people I've been married 21 years, they're like, wow. I thought I would hear wow with, you know, 35, you know, 40.
Right.
But you're right. So many things are changing, but I know, you know, but again, I'm here for you. If you, you know, I'm great with, you know, kind of going back and forth. It's not a problem. I promise you I'll be back at the end of the show.
No comment.
You know.
No comment.
No comment. Oh, well, this is the Coach and Lisa show, and we got Mr. Percy Walker, and we're a team on Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we are a team. Sometimes Mr. Walker is, you know, takes the topic and takes it away, but most of the time I'm sitting right here, you know, also listening, but having it on mute, of course, because that allows me to multitask and get some scheduling and other things together. But, you take it away, Mr. Walker. We're so glad to have you back. We're glad you're feeling in good spirits. I'm glad that conversation about the cell phones got you going.
There you go. It works for me.
That sparked something. But we're going to have some more exciting topics. As a matter of fact, I said Thursdays from now on are going to be our live crazy topics that, well, I know Wendy Williams calls hers hot topics, but we're going to have to call ours sizzling topics.
There you go.
We're going beyond hot. We're about to get sizzling. We're about to have sizzling Thursdays. And so, anyway, I'll be back. And now, Mr. Walker, it's up to you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Special good morning to Ms. Minister Pat in the chat room.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Mr. Walker, hold on. Before you do that, don't forget. I got to do this one last thing. I want to just publicly, absolutely congratulate the newest member of my coaching team, Ms. K. Serena. Congratulations. She is now a coaching rep, and we are very excited.
All right.
Yes, and so we're looking for other people to also join the team. So all you have to do is inbox me or call me. So I definitely want to get that in. And then I'll come back, if I have time at the end of the show, to share some more information. But if not, I'll give it out tomorrow. But thank you for allowing me to interrupt right there, Mr. Walker.
No problem. Again, congratulations to her as well. Also, good morning to Ms. Brenda Bricks-Cox there in Chicago, and Sonia Peoples. I believe she's in South Carolina. It's been a minute for me. I haven't, you know, even been online, so I haven't been posting, haven't been looking at anything, just really wiped out and just trying to make it through. So hope everyone else is healthy, wealthy, and wise. And, again, take care of yourself, especially with these allergies this season. For me, it came upon very quickly. As always, I'm excited and glad to be here and thankful for the listeners who constantly call in, dial in, inbox, Facebook, and just, you know, express their love and just show their concerns. And always, you know, thankful to you as well, Coach, for allowing me to be here on Wednesday for the Midweek Inspiration Show to share, you know, my experiences, my thoughts, and just convey how I think individuals could be better to enhance, to accelerate themselves. And you said something at the top of the hour about helping to expand their business. And I find that if we can expand our mind, if we can just expand our mind, everything else follows. And that's business, that's politics, that's social awareness, that's community. Everything evolves when you can have an expansive mind, because now you can think beyond the box. I'll say it again. Now you can think beyond the box. Taco Bell had a great running commercial, you know, think outside the box. But we can think beyond the box. And I don't know where the analogy came from or why we've gotten to that area where we do. We're just like processional caterpillars. We just follow one another until the person in front of us falls off and, you know, drops off and dies, and then we just keep doing the same process until we drop off and die. I don't know where that came from, where we were no longer individuals thinking independently to do greater things for ourselves and those around us. It was funny, Coach, several months back I was watching Oprah, and she had the audience was predominantly blonde. And so many of these women were blondes and had been dyeing their hair for so long, they couldn't even remember what their real color was. And that just made me think. And then when she asked, she said, well, why do you do it? Because I want to stand out. I want to look different. She said, well, 95% of my audience today is blonde. How are you standing out? But that was so profound to me and so provocative. But the thing I'm thinking of is that they had been doing this process so long that they forgot what their original hair color was. And so many of us have been doing a process so long, Coach, that we forgot who we really were, or we forgot what our initial intentions were. See, some of us will go out there and get a second job to pay off a bill, to get prepared for Christmas, or for that exotic vacation. And we continue the process far beyond the initial intent and have been doing it for so long and beating down ourselves and beating up ourselves for doing it and don't even remember why, what our initial intentions were. So, you know, again, if we can just expand our mind, people, we could do so much greater things. As far as updates, I haven't been updating my calendar or anything at the moment. There's several book signings that I'll be doing between New York and D.C. during the month of May, and I'll keep everyone updated. And you're right, Coach, as you said earlier, I am working. I've actually put my second book on hold. I'm about 120 pages in, but revamping the first book and putting a real focus and concentration on the first book, and even dancing with or playing with changing the title. I'm beefing it up. I'm adding a few more chapters and information in there as well. And hopefully that'll be concluded. The writing, the page layout, the editing, everything that will be concluded at upon the end of this month and then go to print in June. So I will definitely keep you guys informed. I'm so excited because, again, new direction and new focus. Also, for those who are looking for individual coaching for myself and my Million Dollar Mind coaching program and training program, please inbox me and I'll let you know how the silver, the gold, and the platinum program actually works and how I can maybe help assist you in getting to your goal and to your journey. And speaking of journey, something came to me this morning thinking about the Wizard of Oz, and I think next week I want to touch on the topic of the Wizard of Oz, the original movie, as well as the play, as well as what we know, the Wiz. But I want to touch on that next week and talk about that and how it relates and how it's relevant today and how it positions you to be a stronger and a better you. So, again, I will touch on that next week. Also, anyone interested in finding out more about me, you can Google my name. You can go to Facebook, but you can also go to my website at www.virtuewalker.com. Look at what I'm doing, what I've done. Also, if you want to have an autographed copy of the book, Success, How I Ended Up Here, you can purchase it right there. And with that being said, Coach, I want to actually share with the listeners the events on last weekend. I know some of the listeners, their children, if they have children of school age, had spring break last week. Some are having spring break this week. Mine had spring break last week, and we typically try to take them back to Chicago, and this year we didn't. My oldest daughter got accepted in the Ambassador's People-to-People program, which was initiated years ago by Dwight Eisenhower. And it's more of a preparatory event that is done all throughout the country. They go to Australia, D.C., California, and it's, they take a group of kids, and they kind of teach them and show them, you know, the ways of planning for college, financial aid and information, and really get them geared up towards college. So my eldest daughter got accepted, and so we drove her down on Sunday of last week and a half ago, a week ago on Sunday, and then we drove back as well. But then on Friday of last week, we drove back down to D.C., spent some time with our friends and family in Virginia as well as Maryland. Now, I've been to D.C. numerous times. I've seen the Capitol, I've seen the Lincoln Memorial, I've seen the White House. But this particular weekend, the weather permitted, everything was like a perfect storm. The kids behaved well. We had the time. We walked from the monument to the Lincoln Memorial to the Jefferson Memorial to the White House. Went and had crab cakes, illegal seafood there in D.C. It was such a relaxing, great Saturday. But the event that I'm really more akin to was actually Easter. We were coming back home, and we decided to take advantage of a opportunity to go to an exhibit. And it was just thought of, I think, on Friday. But we went to the exhibit. And for those who are familiar with and know Tavis Smiley, he's a radio personality, television personality. He works for BET, works for PBS, et cetera. I think he's been in the business over 20 years. And he usually really holds politicians to the carpet. He really makes sure that they are accountable for what they do and what they don't do when it comes to us small people. But Tavis Smiley, and I didn't know this, he's an author 15 times over. He's also a publisher. And for those who are familiar with Yana Van Zandt, he actually is the one who got her out of hibernation. He had lunch with her several months back and talked to her and told her she needs to get back out there. She needs to write a book, and in fact, he'll publish it for her. So those who thought, you know, she went to obscurity, she almost did, financially, socially, and mentally, and everything else. She's lost a great deal. But Tavis Smiley was the one to encourage her to come back out there and keep encouraging us, and I applaud her for that. But he had an exhibit there in D.C. This exhibit is called America I Am, the African-American Imprint. It was at the National Geographic Museum and leaves this Sunday, May 1st, and then it travels to St. Louis for 6 months. I don't know what the travel date is beyond that point, but I sincerely encourage each and every one of you to go there to see this exhibit. It takes us pre-slavery to current day. It covers, you know, the slave trade, and we've all seen these exhibits or seen them on TV. It covers the Middle Passage. It covers so many different things. And then it had a display section that took us to the minstrel year, the time in which, you know, blackface and Jim Crow. And it brought us up again even further beyond that, and I loved it. I'm trying to explain something to my 10-year-old. She's just breezing through the exhibit. I said, sweetheart, you can't do that. Let's take the time to walk through and read each exhibit. It'll take me longer than you and you longer than me, but let's read. This is how we gather information. And so I think the stage play and the minstrel show, the Chitlin' Circuit, was probably between the 1930s and 1950s. I just don't remember that time frame. But what happened to me, people, what was so impactful is because reading one of the exhibits, reading one of the flyers and banners for a minstrel show, I saw the name of my great cousin. Hubie Blake was a jazz pianist. He was a musician. He was a composer. And he wrote and he scored one of the plays. I'm sure he did more than that throughout, you know, the years. But to have his name prominently displayed on a flyer or a brochure sent chills down my spine. So you know, sometimes we have to take a detour to get back on track, people. Sometimes we have to do something spirit of moment to come full circle. So I hadn't thought of Hubie Blake in years. Didn't realize and know who he was until I saw him one day on Saturday Night Live back in 1977, I believe. And on that day, he was probably about 89 years old at the time. He was playing the piano, being celebrated at that time, and then Gregory Hines came out and tap danced for him. So that was the discovery of who he was to us and our family, and I have an auntie who did research beyond that point. But had I not slowed down, had we not did sort of a detour, had I not been open to the idea of going to this exhibit, wouldn't have saw and understood and got more information than I even bargained for, then to see this, it felt so surreal, Coach. It was one of those things being, I guess, at a football game and somebody announces your name across the intercom and says, happy birthday to you, or I love you. You see it happen to everybody else, but when it happens to you, how you respond. So I really encourage anyone and everyone, go on Tavis Smiley's website, go to the American I Am website and see what this gentleman is doing and giving back to us people. Let us know there's a lineage and a heritage of success, of, you know, forward thinking, progressiveness, and we have it all inside of us. So I just wanted to share that with you and hope, you know, that it was an enlightenment that, you know what, everything can't be always status quo. We can't always continuously do what we're doing and get better results, because had I just went there to drop my daughter off and came back home, I wouldn't have had one of the most phenomenal weekends. And to be there with my kids, Coach, to be able to tell them, wait a minute, come back here. This is your cousin. This is what we're representative of. This is what we're capable of doing. It meant the world to me. It meant the world to me. So with that being said, I want to move on to today's topic. But I just want to share that with each and every one of you, that experience, and sometimes, again, just something out of the norm could bring you right back full circle and reignite you. Because something you said earlier, Coach, you know, we're self-employed and we're trying to encourage other people without financial compensations most of the time. So then where do we get our inspiration and our motivation to keep moving forward? And it gets heavy. It gets difficult, you know, and we're shining and smiling through situations that are really eating us up inside. But we know we have to move forward because there's greater in us that we still need to share with the world. But sometimes it ain't shining, the sun that is, on our backyard as it is for others. And how do we keep being encouraged? And you best believe that moment made me more encouraged. I'm more enthusiastic now than I've probably been in the last few weeks. And I thank Tavis Smiley for that opportunity. And he doesn't even know what he just did for me and my family. I thank him. So again, with that being said, I want to move on to today's topic. Today's topic, I'm going to go over marketing and promoting yourself and your product and services. Towards the end of it, I'm going to definitely give some tips on how to better do that. So please have pen and pad ready to take notes, which I know everybody always does and always have. But on last night, I was actually, well, let me back up for a second. Many of you may or may not know that on last July, I was elected to the school board here in my district. So now I'm a school board member for the next 3 years. And on last night, it hit me. It was really drove the importance of marketing and promoting yourself. After speaking with a board member, or actually the board president, and a lady that I know who's running for the office this year. So May 17th, May 18th is the election. So election processes are well on the way. They're putting out their banners, you know, they're getting signatures. And so after speaking with the president and speaking with this candidate, the president asked her several questions or a series of questions. And the one that really struck me, he asked her, was she serious? Excuse me. He asked her, was she serious about running? And she really got tight. Yeah, I'm very serious. He said, I'm only asking you, are you serious? Because there's a methodology, there's a lot of effort and energy that you have to put into getting this process done. And here we are, you know, just, you know, several weeks away, and what are you doing to show that you're serious? Well, you know, I'm very serious, and I'm doing what I need to do to get done, and you know, so. He said, well, let me ask you this. You know, he said, well, why don't you, next time you're one of the meetings, stand up and ask a question. Introduce yourself. Let the audience know that you're running and ask your question. Oh, I do that all, you know, I do that all the time. You know, and the only reason I didn't do that tonight, and so I'm listening. He said, the only reason I didn't do that tonight is because everybody here already knows me. Now, Coach, this is where, you know, he kind of drew her in to this point. And so he says, well, I didn't know who you were. I know there's 7 candidates running. I know 6 of them by name. I know 6 of them because of the relationship within the district. But if it wasn't for Mr. Walker introducing me, I wouldn't know who you were. I know there was a 7th candidate. I know she's an African-American, but I didn't know she was you. And I'm like, whoa. It set me back on my heels because her assumption was I didn't have to poll, campaign, push, promote, or market myself in this particular arena because everybody already knows who I am. Coach, that right there made me think of our listeners. Understand, on the contrary, where she maybe should have had a T-shirt, a banner, a poster, because who else could be coming to these events, to these meetings, who normally don't come? But they want to see what the candidates are talking about. They want to see what the school board is talking about or the superintendent. And how many lost opportunities has she been met with? And thinking of our listeners and myself, how many lost opportunities have we been met with? Wondering, you know, how many people are really serious about marketing and promoting themselves, and are they doing it properly and effectively? Now, assuming that everyone already knew her was a mistake. Assuming that everybody already knew what she was offering or what she was about or that she was running for office was a grave mistake. And once he was able to point that out, her guards dropped down and she became attentively listening. See, before then, she wasn't listening. She was defending her position. I'm serious. What do you mean I'm not serious? I'm out there doing what I need to do. And he brought it full circle and said, I didn't know who you were. And I'm the president of the board. She should have made that probably one of our first introductions weeks back. Pulled him in. She came to me and she asked for a few pointers and tips, and I tried to give her a few, and I saw that she wasn't receiving them as I was trying to give them, and I just wished her well. I wish you luck. I know it's a struggle. When I got in, there were 3 seats open, and there were 3 candidates, more of a walk in the park. Now there's 3 seats open, and we have 12 candidates. I'm just trying to tell you what I believe can help you shine. But I felt that she wasn't receiving. I wasn't going to push. Sometimes we say we want help and information, but we digress. We push back. We give push back. And he had not kept on asking a series of questions to draw her in to make his point. It would have been lost. And she would have probably kept doing the same things during this campaign and wonder why she didn't meet her objective. We got to understand. We must remember that at least companies like a Dunkin' Donuts, we all know what a donut looks like, what it tastes like. We all know what Dunkin' Donuts and what they do and what they provide. But grocery stores also provide donuts. Heck, what's the other company out there that makes some of the best donuts in the world? People are lined up all around. Krispy Kreme sells donuts. But to ensure that you know and that you don't ever forget who Dunkin' Donuts is, they spend millions of dollars a day on marketing to make sure that you remember them, and they do it at least 20 times an hour. The world runs on Dunkin'. They show you every product that they sell, and they keep on penetrating, and giving this information because they want to be top of mind. They're not the only ones who does this. We have companies from Pepsi to McDonald's to your local automotive parts store. They leave nothing to chance, and they expend a lot of time and a lot of money promoting and marketing their products and services to the masses. They don't know what your spirit is today. They don't know what your needs are today. But they want to be top of mind should you want coffee or donuts. That automotive parts store wants to be top of mind should you need wiper blades. And they will go through the expense of, you know, marketing to 50 people, knowing they may get 5, knowing that they only may sell 3. But that's okay. Because the odds and the ratio just keeps on growing. And if they can provide satisfactory services to you, you would then help their marketing efforts. You would spread the word. You would, you know, promote them. But they don't stop. Pepsi did many surveys where they got out the marketplace from a marketing standpoint for 5 days. And they saw substantial decreases in their numbers. So they can't afford to lose $5 million. And marketing may have cost them 3. They can't afford to lose that because it only continues. So they continue to spend $3 million on marketing to get that $5 million back a week. For my example. So these people, again, go through great extremes. See, they understand that, and they understand this quite well, out of sight means out of mind. And they want to win your business. It's not about earning your business. They want to win your business. And they know those who are most visible, who are constantly, you know, on their mind or on the consumer's mind, win the business. They win the race. They can worry about earning your business, maybe the quality of service, the quality of products, or how your tastes are towards their consumables. But they don't care about earning your business as much as they care about winning your business. Now, I caution each and every one of you who are listening to the sound of my voice today, if you are sitting idly by believing that people will remember or call on you for future business opportunities and you haven't made sure to put yourself or your business top of mind with your prospects, then that's just wishful thinking. If Mom and them were here, they'd probably say that would be foolish thinking. Girl, you mean to tell me you ain't talked to your boyfriend in a week and you ain't seen him in a week and y'all were inseparable for the last 6 months and he ain't your boyfriend no more? Oh, no, he's busy. No, that's foolish thinking. You waiting idly by for him to call or come by? You think you got it that good? No. You got to keep putting yourself in the forefront. You got to keep making sure that he knows, believes, or sees you as the only thing that he ever needs for the rest of his life. And that's what the marketing campaigns of these great corporations, that's what they do, and they do it on a daily basis, and they do it better than anybody else. Now, consider how inundated today's consumers are on a daily basis. Think about your day and your life, and as you're just talking about, Coach, this mega texting festival that's going on. Now, incorporating on that, on top of that, with the numerous errands that we're doing, with the responsibilities that we have in our workplace and in our lives, the things that easily can be distracted or pulled away will then be laid to rest. We won't deal with it because there's so many other vital things that we believe are important. So your consumer base is inundated with all these other distractions. Then they are continuously marketed to by big corporations. How does the little guy get visibility? How does the startup? How does, again, major companies, you know, sustain in such a marketplace? Even those who provide viable opportunity or alternatives can struggle. You know, not everybody likes Pepsi. Not everybody likes Frito-Lay. But you will succumb to it if it's the only thing on the shelf. So the little guy or the guy who has an alternative to that product or service he or she must also market continuously. I've seen some of the most corny automobiles and furniture commercials. I'm like, how are these guys? They're making fun of themselves. They got cartoons where their head is bigger than it really is, and they're talking to some strange voice. But that commercial sticks out in my mind. You know, the 588-2300 Empire, I know that number when it was Mohawk 588-2300. I remember when they had initials for the phone. You can remember that. I'm talking about a different group of people. That they used to have phone, in your phone number, the first two or three numbers was a letter. They didn't say area code 914. They said, again, Mohawk or some other empire. So the first three letters of that word was the three letters of the phone number. And so that number sticks out of my mind, 588-2300, Empire. And it does, it has been there for years. But it's the marketing tactics. It's how they're constantly promoting themselves. Their product or service really hasn't changed, but they have to keep on marketing it as if it does or if it has. That's why Dunkin' came up with the world runs on Dunkin'. McDonald's came up with ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Going back to jingles, keeping top of mind. When you hear that word, ba-da-ba, what does it do for you? When you smell popcorn, what does it do for you? It takes you back to a place in time where maybe life was greater. Thought about maybe a drive-in, maybe going to the show. Or every time you went to a fair, you smell popcorn. These things are effective, people, and you must incorporate them in your daily lives. So if you're promoting yourself to be a candidate for a board, to be a board member, or if you're marketing your new job or your existing company, it cannot be left to chance to believe that the consumers, the people, your neighbors and friends will keep you top of mind about your services and your product unless you promote it continuously to the point where they're almost nauseated. I get to the point every time a new commercial comes on, the same commercial, I change the channel. They don't care, but they got it on the next channel. Eventually, they're going to get me. Eventually, I'm going to succumb. I'm going to give in and go get me a Dunkin' Donuts coffee or that new Pepsi product. And so I want to share that with you people today. So if you do have a pen and paper handy, I just want to give you 5 points that I think are important to marketing yourself and promoting your products and your services. Number one, when it comes to marketing, it's just like the old Chicago adage when it comes to voting. Vote early and vote often. So market early, early in the game, early in the morning, as much as you can, and do it often. See, the customers, they want to see consistency. They want to see how much and how bad you want their services. It's like what the dating game used to be. You didn't get the phone number and a kiss the first time you saw the person. You had to court them. You had to chase them a little bit. They wanted to see how interested you really were in them, how confident you were in your product, and how much are you willing to put your name out there to secure the business or secure the relationship or secure the services. So, again, number one, you must market early and you must market often. Number two, be sure to market to your niche no less than 5 times. This is more so for the small business owner. I say that number 5 times, and I mean 25. I mean 105. But I say no less than 5 times because they should be receiving advertisements from you in various different forms, meaning, again, a letter, an email, a text, a radio, a TV, etc. Your consumer, your market, your niche should be receiving some type of communication from you no less than 5 times, 5 times a day, 5 times an hour, but no less than 5 times. They should see you in various different formats. Something when you mentioned insurance producer, I recall when I was an insurance producer for Prudential Life Insurance there in Chicago, that there's one creative agent. There was several, but there was one agent. He would send you a letter, and he would put it in an off-color envelope, a pink envelope, a yellow envelope. Why? Because he knew that that color would get open from pretty much first when you picked up your mail. But what he went a step further, Coach, and it blew my mind. he would send a series of letters to people asking for opportunities to give them life insurance quotes or annuity quotes, etc. What was creative about his approach, if on the fourth letter that he sent to that particular prospect, he physically balled up the letter, opened it back up and folded it, and placed it in the envelope and mailed it. When he did that, he said, please read it this time. What that did was made the customer or the prospect embarrassed. Oh, my goodness, he knew I threw up the other letter. I threw away the other letter. How did he get this? It made that person call just out of curiosity. Are you going through my mail? Were you in my backyard with me? How did you get this letter? He said, now that I have your attention, sir, isn't it time for us to talk? I sent you enough letters. I've called you. This is important. And I can't, you know, convey enough, you know, the importance to protect your family. And so that letter got your attention. It gets people attention. Sometimes we have to think beyond the box. Number three, vitally important, and this is a myth, and this is something we'll talk tomorrow in the texting. This is a myth. People are doing it. You need to show a genuine interest, a genuine concern in those in which you are marketing to. Understand. People wish to do business with someone that understands them. That is how Barack Obama had hordes and tons of people supporting his campaign. And that's how he won the presidency. Change you can believe in. For the first time in a long time, people felt that somebody understood them. We're not only missing this in the business arena, we're missing this in our social and personal and interpersonal relationships, people. Forget about the microwave age. Sometimes you still got to stir that stew and stand at the kitchen and do a pinch of this and a pinch of that to get that meal just right. Excuse me. And if it takes an hour and a half, you have to put in a slow cooker, then do that. Get back to the fundamentals. Because people only want to do business with people that genuinely have a concern about them or that seem to or appear to understand their needs and their circumstances. Trust me, try it another way and you'll soon see failure will be imminent. If you want success, you can't keep just touting and promoting your product and pushing and haven't had a genuine conversation or an interest or a communication. The lady who's running for the school board, had the president not asked her a series of questions, he wouldn't have been able to draw her in and then make his point clear about her marketing and promoting. He could have just simply said, I'm the president of the board, you know, great, I wish you luck. But he didn't. There was a genuine interest and concern with her efforts. And she listened. So that's number three. Number four, understand marketing is not a part-time job. Remember, the consumers are lazy and forgetful and must be reminded constantly that you are still around. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy, you know, I'll do that later. I'll call them later. I'll go by that later. It's easy because people are so inundated with information on a daily basis that they won't come to you. They won't. I mean, it just makes sense. You know, my truck sits out in my driveway. It says, you know, happy day, dry cleaner. You're my neighbor. I saw you 2 miles away from the house coming out of a dry cleaner. Why didn't you come to my spot? In fact, I'll come to your house and pick up. You know, I didn't even think about it, Fred. You know, I passed by that truck all the time, but I was right there getting donuts and just went to that dry cleaner. You've got to keep yourself top of mind. And for number five, you have to be passionate. Be passionate and show enthusiasm when promoting or marketing your wares. If you don't, your prospect won't be in it as well. They will not be interested in doing business with you and supporting you. Show enthusiasm. Be sincere. And with that, I'll just go over quickly. Number one, you must market early and often. Number two, be sure to market to your niche no less than 5 times in various forms. Number three, show genuine interest and concern in the person, the people, and the place that you're marketing to. Number four, marketing is not a part-time job. And number five, be passionate. Be passionate and enthusiastic. With Coach, with that being said, I'm done. Go ahead.
All right, that's all right. I didn't want you to run out of seconds, but we have 10 seconds left, so we'll see you all tomorrow. Tell all your friends who text to tune in and find out some of the Thank you, Mr. Walker, for those five key things to do when we're marketing. We're going to put some of those in action. Go back, y'all, and listen to the archives. Invite someone to the show. Thank you for all of you who tuned in. Again, you spend your special time in the morning with us here on this show. We so appreciate you. Please stay tuned as we're going to be moving forward and doing wonderful, great things on this show. We're going to have giveaways and some other things coming up, so we're going to make it worth your while. And don't forget, what is the hottest coaches talk show on radio? The Coach of Elisa Show, right here every Wednesday with Mr. Versi Walker. Thank you, Mr. Versi. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Well,
have an awesome day.
And goodbye. Bye-bye.